All right. Well, today we're continuing in our series. We're in week three of our series called Divine Direction. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this question. How do we discern, how do we know God's will? How do we know God's direction for our lives? And the thing that maybe you've been asking this question, maybe you're in a situation right now where you're saying, I just want to know what I'm supposed to do. What does God want me to do? Well, this is a series for you. The thing I love about this series is we're not just talking about God's will or God's direction 30 years from now, you know? The thing I love is we're talking about how do we hear from God and how do we better follow God's direction now? In this season, in this moment, with the decisions that are in front of us now. You know, I used to think that following God's direction meant that you have perfect, crystal clear clarity about everything God wants you to do. I used to think that it was one of these things where if you were really following God, then God would almost give you this roadmap or this blueprint of all the details that were going to happen, you know, if I was just close enough to God. So I used to kind of beat myself up with God and say, God, I still feel like I have unclarity, lack of clarity. But what I've learned when it comes to following God's direction, God hardly ever gives us, here's the whole blueprint, here's all the details. And it's one of those things where instead, following God's direction is more like playing connect the dots. If you remember playing that growing up, it was like an adventure, you know? I can look at my kids' connect the dot thing, and I know exactly what it is by looking at it, but it was an adventure for you as a kid, right? You would find dot one, and once you found dot one, you would look for dot two, and you would take a step to dot two, and then on to dot three. You didn't know step 7, 8, 9, 10 where it was going. And the same is true when it comes to following God. And it's kind of like, why is that? Why didn't God just give us this crystal clear picture, give us the whole blueprint? And it's because God wants us to not trust in the details, to not put our trust in all the blueprint of our plan and what we're supposed to do. But God wants us to learn to walk with him, to learn what it means to trust in him and to walk with him daily. And so what God does in our lives is we don't always know all the details before we take a step. God usually, in my life and in yours, he usually simply shows us, here's your next step. And our job is to trust God enough to take our next faithful step with him. And so today what we're gonna do is we're gonna talk about how do we get that wisdom to know what we're supposed to do. I know this is probably a really relevant topic for so many people. How do we get that wisdom so that we can know what we're supposed to do? How do we decide? Where does that wisdom come from? And I realize that many of you might be in the middle of some situations and stuff like that in your life, good and bad, where you maybe are trying to make some decisions. It could be some really small decisions, but what I've found in my life is the small decisions that we make have a cumulative effect. They're big, right? At the same time, some of you may have some really big questions. You may be wrestling with things about some decisions about your career, maybe some decisions that you have to make when it comes to your finances, and maybe, hey, how do we do this better together? How do we get better financially and trust God more there? Or maybe it's like, as a parent, one of the questions that I always want to know from God is, God, how am I supposed to lead my kids in this situation that we're in or this situation that they're facing? How do I better lead my kids? Or maybe if you're a student, we got many, many students, and one of the things that maybe you're wrestling right now with, like, what kind of friends am I supposed to be hanging out with right now? Or there's this college that I want to get into someday, so what are the decisions that I need to make today in order to help me to get into the right college in the future? For many people, a lot of people in this church are going through situations where you're helping to give care to some aging parents or to an ailing friend. You need God's direction. I don't know what that is for you, but what I found is that we oftentimes think, God, just show me what to do, you know? Just show me what to do. God, if you just show me what to do, I'll do it, you know? Give me the blueprint. But what I've found, and this is really a key thought for today, is that we often want God to show us what to do, but God often wants to give us wisdom to decide. There's a difference. There's a cool story, wisdom to decide. There's a cool story in the Old Testament, a story of King Solomon. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And you can turn there if you'd like. You'll have a little bit of time, or on your smartphone, either one, or watch it on the screen. You can do that too. But 2 Chronicles chapter 1, Solomon has just been anointed to be the next king of Israel. He was chosen by God to be the next king. And he, as the king, was supposed to make a sacrifice to God. And by law, the sacrifice was supposed to be one bull. So he's supposed to sacrifice one bull to say, God, I honor you, I serve you. But here's what Solomon did. Instead of just sacrificing one bull, Solomon decided, look, God has been so good. I'm going to sacrifice 1,000 bulls, 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord. And it's like, I don't know about you, but if so many times in our lives, it's so easy to say, let me just cling on to what I have. Let me just make sure that you know, like if I sacrifice 1,000 to you, God, is there still going to be enough? But Solomon sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That's this extravagant act of worship to God. And it's one of those things where that act moved the heart of God. It moved the heart of God. And God said to Solomon this interesting question. He says, if I give you anything you want, what do you want? Cool question, right? If I can give you anything, what do you want? And it's one of those things, before we move on, just a quick note about generosity. It's so cool that if you think for a moment that generosity doesn't move the heart of God, you've missed it. Because the truth is, our generosity always moves the heart of God into action. It always happens. And so God says, because Solomon, you've been so generous, Solomon, I'll give you anything, just ask me. Now let me ask you this question. If God were to say that to you today, I'll give you anything you want. What do you want? Ask me. What might you say? I know there's a lot of things that come to mind, and Solomon probably had a lot of things on his list, you know, like imagine that. But Solomon, he didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for, you know, fame or power or long life or like, God, can you just like eliminate my enemies? That would be nice right now, right? Can you eliminate what's in front of me? Solomon, here's what he asked for. He said, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Interesting. He's basically like, God, help me to make better decisions. Help me to be a faithful king. Help me to know how to lead your people and to become the leader you want me to be. In fact, here's how the story goes. We'll jump in with Solomon responding to God in verse 10. Solomon says, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord, right? God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king. He says this, therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given you. But check this out. And I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have. Now, the thing I love about this is such a cool thing. Solomon is, he asked God for wisdom. He asked God for wisdom. And it's like, God, just help me to become a wiser king. And God made him the wisest king that's ever lived. But did you catch that? Because he didn't ask for all those other things, wealth and power and fame, God put the frosting on top. He's like, here, I'm going to give you that wisdom. But because you didn't ask for that, because your heart was in the right place, I'm going to put all those other things in your life too. And Solomon was a guy, if you read his story and his impact, he was a guy who had this massive impact for Israel. In fact, he was the king that helped lead, they built the temple in Jerusalem. He was the king that led them to so much prosperity as a nation and defeating their enemies. He was so wise. But the thing I find fascinating is God didn't just dictate to Solomon everything he was supposed to do. What God did is God gave Solomon wisdom to decide. And so today I want to talk with you about that. How do we get that wisdom to decide, to discern what God wants us to do? And here's the first thing I want to tell you today. The first thing is this. Number one, ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Now that seems really basic, doesn't it? But isn't that what Solomon did? Like, ask God for wisdom. Solomon's story reminds us that if you want a promise of God for a prayer that you pray, if you want a promise of God that God will always say yes, ask God for wisdom. He will always say yes. Here's what Jesus' brother James said. James chapter 1, verse 5. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. See, when you ask God for wisdom, God always says yes. And so ask him. I don't know, sometimes in my life, I'm kind of one of those, maybe you are too, I kind of like to just not ask, you know? I kind of like to like do and then say, God, why don't you come on with me, you know? Why don't I just do this and do what I want to do and you just follow me, God? And so many times, you know this for if you have kids, it's like, you know, so many times your kids don't, they think you're so dumb when you become, they become teenagers. You all of a sudden, you knew everything when they were little and all of a sudden you don't know anything, you know, when they're teenagers. And then they grow up and they're like, wow, my parents were actually pretty smart. You know, they can start going back to you for advice. You know, it's interesting, we do that with God, but the truth is God knows so much better than we do. In fact, God created us and he knows every detail of the situations and the decisions that are in front of you. He knows every detail. Ask him. You know, when I was a youth pastor, it was a lot like being a parent when I was a youth pastor. I did that for a while, youth ministry and awesome stuff. But one of the things that I found is you don't just start offering unsolicited advice to teenagers. Why? They're not going to listen. They don't care, right? And so what I found is I wanted to kind of earn their trust over time. And so that's what I did. I spent a lot of time building trust and investing in their relationships, going to ball games and all sorts of things. And of course, I would preach and teach and lead them spiritually in a general way. But I didn't usually like pull them off to the side and say, well, son, let me give you some wisdom right now. Why? Because they wouldn't listen. You know, they weren't in a position to hear and to listen, but because I had invested so much time in them, because they knew that I loved them, oftentimes they would pull me off to the side and say, hey, I want to talk to you about this thing that I'm going through at school. Hey, there's this girl I want to talk to you about, all sorts of things, and they'd pull me to the side. And in that moment, the very moment they asked, and you know this as a parent, the moment your kids ask for wisdom, I mean, you're like, well, let me open up the window of opportunity and pour out my amazing wisdom to you kids. Why? Because you lived longer. You know better, right? But it's one of those things where they had to ask. And the question is, how much more? How much more will your perfectly loving Heavenly Father give you wisdom if you come before him and simply ask? Now, you may be thinking, well, that's great. I'll ask God, but how do I get wisdom? How do I get this? It's pretty simple in a lot of ways. You can get wisdom every single day when you open up the Word of God, you know, by just opening up your Bible and seeking God in the Bible. Now, it's not usually like, am I supposed to go to Starbucks today? But it's like as you seek God in his Word, God starts to show you even more what his will is for your life. Seek God's Word. You can do it on your YouVersion Bible app, either one. Another way that you can do that is by simply praying and talking to God. Like maybe for me, my best time of prayer or my most, the time that I end up having the most raw moments with God is in the car. Like I'm driving in the car and a lot of times it's me complaining, you know, God, why is this going on? Or why do I have to go through? But it's like I'm talking to God and oftentimes I'm talking to God and I'm like, hey God, I really need help with this thing right now. And God just seems to like, sometimes by talking to God, God seems to give you wisdom through that. Another way that God gives you wisdom is maybe through that refresh group you joined. God gives wisdom in the context of community. We're going to talk about that more. But when you're walking with other Christ followers who are pouring into you, they can oftentimes give you godly wisdom. Another way you get wisdom is through failure. This is like not the fun one, but when you go through circumstances, you learn. Yes, you learn from your successes, but y'all know, the time you learn best, the best way to gain wisdom is when you fail. And it's one of those things, well, who cares? You walk forward and you make a wrong decision. Well, at least you have wisdom now, right? And you start to say, well, I missed that last time, and I'm going to watch out for this hole the next time, right? You get wisdom. And so here's the point is in order to get wisdom from God, you got to spend time with God. Spend time in his word. Spend time praying. Spend time surrounding yourself in Christian community where they can help you with that. Spend time thinking about your circumstances and some failures you've had and how you can learn from those. God will give you wisdom. Here's what Psalm 32 says. Psalm 32, verse 8, it says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. This is what God does. So ask God for wisdom. Here's the second thing. Well, actually, before we jump to the second thing, Let me tell you this. Because before we get it up on the screen, I want to tell you that this second point is going to seem like it's not needed in your life. It's going to seem like this is one of those things that this is a nice to have. You know, maybe you've like made a list before and these are my nice to haves in life and these are my needs. You know, these are my wants, these are my needs. This is going to seem like it's a nice to have, a want, but not a need. And you're going to be tempted as soon as I say it to shrug it off. And it's one of those things where you're going to be tempted to say, well, let me just focus on just on number one. That's good. Ask God for wisdom, and I'll hear from God. But this is the one single thing that so many people are missing, so many people aren't investing in, that can lead you to getting the wisdom that you need to discern God's direction. Here it is. Number two, walk in community. Walk in community with other Jesus followers. Walk in community with other Jesus followers. Here's what Solomon, you know, the guy who God asked for, he asked God for wisdom, and God's like, all right, whew, wisdom. Here's what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Here's what he says. Solomon says, walk with the wise and become, what does it say? Wise. Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, this is a promise, isn't it? If you walk with the wise, you become wise. If you walk with a bunch of fools, you know, it leads you to harm. And so here's the thing. Basically what it's saying is the people your mama was right, you know? The people you surround yourself with shapes who you become. Like, mom, I didn't want to hear that. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know? But they were right, weren't they? Or your parents were right. You know, the truth is that when you walk with the wise, you become like them. And when you're running with a bunch of fools, you know, when you're running with trouble, you become like them, right? It's one of those things where, for me growing up, I can think of so many times, especially at the ballpark, where I was running with trouble. And those were the times when every single time I got into any kind of trouble growing up, it was when I was running with trouble. Hardly ever got into trouble on my own. And some of the worst decisions I've ever made in my life, and I got advice from people, you know, from these people who were like, yeah, that was stupid advice. That wasn't good advice, but I followed it. I was like, man, I wish I didn't listen to them. It was when I was running with trouble. See, getting wisdom from God, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't happen alone. In fact, walking in Christ-centered community might be one of the most undervalued aspects of our lives today. But I want you to think about the area we're in. A couple weeks ago, I made a pitch to three bishops of the United Methodist Church and to about 130 of our best leaders in the United Methodist Church. I got to stand in front of them and make them a pitch. And what I shared about is this idea, is that we live in an area, and I showed this circle, and I had drawn a ton of dots on the circle, and I said, this is what our community looks like. We live in a community where we're surrounded by people. I mean, there's neighborhoods, and there's people everywhere, and yet there's not really a huge sense of community. There's a whole lot of people that are around each other, but there's not really a great sense of community. Not a lot of people have invested themselves in experiencing real community. And many, many of us are okay with that because we just don't realize our need for it. Or maybe we've never experienced real community like that, and we don't have that desire like some others have. And so, but the thing is, the people you spend time with impacts our lives and impacts our decisions, both good and bad. That's why we say it all the time here at the Fountain. You can't do life alone, and you can't do faith alone. And it's one of those things, you can't do that. We need to walk. We need to be walking with the wise, walking with Jesus followers in order to become who God wants us to be. And notice it says, walk with the wise. It doesn't say just kind of hang out or get in the proximity of other Christians and expect to become who God wants you to be. You know, what it says is you got to walk with them. It means that you don't just meet up with coffee with a Christian that you know one time and you kind of interview them and you're like, all right, I'm going to go do everything they told me to do. That's not enough. Walk with the wise. And what that really means is you got to do life with them. You got to pursue faith with them. Because what happens is, and this is one of the things where that's why so many times we really encourage you so often of the power of being connected in a Christ-centered community that we call a refresh group. This is why we talk about it all the time, because we know the power in it. And my heart goes out so many times to so many people, and I get it, I've been there, where there's so many excuses not to do it. There's so many excuses not to be invested, you know? Like, I'm just so busy right now. Like, I can't add one more thing in my schedule. We don't have room. We don't have margin. Or like, I'm just so tired. Like, I'm working nonstop, and like, how am I ever gonna have the energy to go hang around more people when I've been around people all day? Or all sorts of things. My schedule just doesn't work with that group, so I guess I can't do it. Or my kids go to bed at 3 p.m. or whatever, you know, we hear all sorts of things. It's like, we got groups at all different times, praise God. And if you don't see one, we can help you start one, right? And you wonder why you're not experiencing any real breakthrough in your life, you know? You wonder why you're not experiencing any real life change spiritually. I mean, it's one of those things where you wonder why you always feel like you're always swimming in the details of your life, in the busyness of life alone. I mean, yes, kind of surviving, but not really being fulfilled. You know, the thing is, with the pull of this world and with the powers of evil in this world, you can't do life alone. You can't do faith alone. You can't drift along without Christ-centered community because you will not grow. So when I moved to Kentucky, I experienced this. I graduated from college, and I went off to seminary, and it's a 3 or 4 year experience, and I was on the fast track, baby. I was ready to be done with school, so I did it in 2.75 years, right? I was ready to be done and get into the ministry, right? So anyway, I went off to seminary, and I wasn't dating anybody. I was all alone, you know? So I went to seminary, and it was one of those things where it was like, it was a true, like, season of preparation in my life, in every area of my life, 360 degrees around. It was a time to say, and I knew that I wanted a few things. I knew, number one, I wanted to grow spiritually, to become even more the man of God God wanted me to be. Number two, I knew that someday, if God allowed, I wanted to be a good husband to whoever my wife might be, and a good father if God ever gave me that privilege. And I knew, number three, that God, I wanted to grow to become the leader, a better leader, to become the leader God wanted me to be. And so I got to seminary, and one of the first things that happened is these older guys, or these guys who had been in seminary a little bit longer, they pulled me to the side and said, "Hey, I want you to join our small group." And I was like, oh, great, you know, here we go. Can I just like, we're studying about Jesus all the time in seminary. Why don't you come and be in our small group? And it was one of these things, it was an intense small group, right? It was a little different. They met every single Monday, but this was a whole lot of guys who were much more, you know, mature spiritually than I was. And honestly, when they invited me, I tried to think of every excuse I could to say no. And every excuse that I had, like, there were a lot of excuses I came up with, but I was like, no, that's lame. They'll know, you know? You know, it was one of those things, like, I was coming up with all sorts of excuses. And it was one of those things where, like, I'm so busy. Like, literally, I was so busy. Like, you know, there was one week where I was supposed to read 800 pages in 1 week, in one class. I was like, good gracious, you know? Like, how do I have time for anything in life? I have no time, right? And it was one of these things where we were talking about Jesus all the time. I was around Jesus talk all the time. I'm listening to some of the best lectures anywhere in the country about Jesus. And so honestly, I kind of wanted to just, when I got done with the day, I wanted to rest. I wanted to come home and watch some ESPN, you know, and hang out with people. But I realized that if I wanted to grow spiritually into the man of God God wanted me to be, I needed to surround myself with other people who are spiritually wise, who could, you know, walk with the wise. And I'm not lying. I decided to go very, very, very reluctantly. And let me just say that when you go reluctantly, I can think back when I was a teenager, those times when I didn't want to go to church. Like, I was like, oh, I don't want to go to church. But my parents were like, no, this is what we do. And I would always go, and I was like, I mean, I love Jesus, I'm just tired, and I would always go. And it was always when I went reluctantly that God always seemed to speak to me the most. And it's one of those things where I went very reluctantly to this small group, and I have to tell you, not lying, the first meeting they said, okay, we want you to know, in order to be in this group, all of us have made a covenant together that we fast on Mondays. And I was like, fast what? Fast food? You know, what are you talking about? You know, and I had never done that before. And I was like, what do you mean I don't eat, right? When Mandy and I first got married, it's so funny. When Mandy and I got married, she was used to eat some Cheerios and stuff like that. There was one time it got to 8 o'clock and we're sitting in our living room and I was like, are we not going to have dinner? And she said, I thought we'd be all right just kind of snacking around. I was like, I've never not had dinner, so shocked. So when this, they said, we all made a covenant to fast together. And I was like, good gracious God, And it was one of those things where as we did, they said, no, you give up a meal and spend that time reading God's word and praying. And I was like, God, you're testing me right now, But I was like, walk with the wise. And so I invested in this community and I learned in that small group what real community looks like. And it's in that one experience, it's something that shaped our entire ministry of the kind of communities we want to help people experience here because we saw it real, genuine, walking with people. And it was one of those things as I was walking with these guys who I really looked up to spiritually, it was almost like the veil was taken down. And I got to see the behind the scenes of things they struggle with and things where they weren't who they were because they were so great. They're who they were because of the incredible grace of God, and they kept digging in with Him. And so they would just share so genuinely and openly about struggles and temptations they were going through and victories in their life, and we supported each other with so much grace. When somebody would confess something, we would say, we would just cover them with so much grace and encourage them. And then we'd lay hands on them, and we would pray for each and every person. I mean, I would leave the group half the time feeling like I'm walking, 2 feet above the ground, just that kind of support. And I grew so much spiritually in that season, and I would not have without them. And then several years ago, I knew that I needed to grow even more as a leader. And it was one of those things where I wanted to become even more the pastor that this church needed me to be for the next seasons that God was leading us into, because I didn't want to become the lid to what God wanted to do in this ministry. And so I sought out this pastor that I'd read his book, and he said something in the book about kids ministry that I have never, ever, ever heard anybody else say except for me. Now, it wasn't because I was so brilliant. It was one of those things where I was like, this guy is like, he's speaking, it's like talking to me 20 years from now. And so I was like, I got to talk to this guy. And so I reached out to him. I gave him a call, and it was awkward at first. And it was a guy who I saw something in him of the kind of leader I wanted to be. And his name's Jim Cowart, and he's a pastor that started a brand new United Methodist Church in Warner Robins 17 years ago. And Jim and Jennifer Cowart started this church, and it started from absolutely nothing, and it's grown to become one of the fastest growing churches in the country. And it's one of those things where when I went to Harvest Church, when I went there and I met Jim and went to Harvest, it was like I was looking at the culture of the Fountain at a much bigger level. I was like, wow. Like, this is like the kind of community that we have at the Fountain. And I got so excited. And so I said, can I hire you? Is that okay? Can I hire you? And so I hired him. I said, can you just spend like once a month with me? Can I? And so I came down. I drove down every single month for 2 years to be with Jim and Jennifer Cowart. And they taught me pretty much everything they know about leadership and about systems and people and money and breaking through growth barriers. And in that season, our church grew because of just a few tweaks. It grew about 40% in that season. And it's one of those things where I became even more the leader God needed me to be for where we stand today. The reason I tell you that is because you can't be who God wants you to be when you're walking with the wild, walking with the insecure, the broken, and the broke, right? You walk with the wise and you become wise. Invest your life walking in Christ-centered community. And so maybe for some of you today, it's kind of, I want to encourage you and maybe even push you a little bit to get out of your comfort zone, to push through some of those same reservations that I had to push through, to get plugged into a refresh group, because it'll help you in your life. We need Christ-centered community. Here's the last thing. It's really quick. You'll be really surprised by it. Number three is this. Decide. How do you know what God, how do you get wisdom? Decide. Number three, decide. Make a decision. Here's this funny verse the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. He says this, "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens." So what do you mean, Paul? You thought it best. Like, that doesn't sound real spiritual, right? That sounds like, aren't you supposed to hear from God and walk with Him? He just thought it best. Here's what this means. It means this, that after you've asked God, after you sought God for wisdom, after you've gone to other Christ-centered people in community, people that love you and you can trust, after you've sought godly counsel from those people, decide. Make a decision. In fact, because God doesn't always tell us with this crystal clear way exactly what we're supposed to do. He doesn't usually tell us like we're a bunch of robots. Step here, right? But God always, always will give you wisdom to decide so that you can make a godly decision. Let's pray. Jesus, we're so grateful for this incredible reminder. And maybe it's a reminder that is something in our lives where we really need to hear this, is that God, just because we don't have clarity, perfect clarity, doesn't mean that we're doing something wrong, doesn't mean that we're missing the mark. God, I just pray that you would help us to get around you even more, to spend time with you even more in your word and in prayer, just to get to know you more, God. And I pray, God, as the Solomon story reminds us, that when we ask for wisdom, you always give us wisdom. And so, God, I pray that you would pour out your wisdom on all of us to be the type of people, to be the Christ followers, to be the parents and leaders and business people that, God, you've called us to be. But, God, I also pray that you would help us together to have the courage to take that step into Christ-centered community. Maybe for some of us, for the very first time, to not just be around people, but to invest time in people who are walking with you. And God, I pray that as we do all this, as we follow you, as we seek you out, as we seek godly counsel, that God, you would give us that wisdom to make those decisions you need us to make. And so God, I just pray over those decisions right now, whether big or small. I pray over some of them are spiritual decisions to maybe take a step toward you. Some of them are relational decisions or financial or career decisions. And I just pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would give us the confidence to walk with you, to walk with others, and to walk forward into what you're calling us to do. Jesus, lead us and guide us in Jesus' name.